Let the church say amen. Amen. Brother Miles, thank you for singing that song. It was one of my favorites, and it was also a favorite of one of the ministers of many years ago, Brother Lewis Tyson. And it was such a wonderful song. I asked Brother Tyson to lead it at my daddy's funeral 40 years ago. So I have special memories of that song. Thank you, Brother Miles. Let the church say amen. God is good, and all the time, God is good. God is always good. This morning is so good to see all of you here, and thank God for the weather that we're having. I know it's not feeling a whole lot like spring, but you know you didn't have to be here. God has allowed us to be here to feel whatever weather He sends our way. So thank God for this weather. And let me make a couple of announcements up front because I don't want to miss out on them. Sister Fluker has returned to Alabama. So anybody that wants to reach Sister Fluker, you might talk to her daughter and ask her for a phone number if you want to contact her, because Sister Fluker is no longer with us. Let's hope she finds her happiness and peace. Whatever she may be seeking in her home in Alabama. Let us try to remember all of those that are sick. Let us try to remember to call them, and let us try to remember those who may not be with us today. Let us remember to reach out to them as well. Let us take a moment and go to God now in prayer. Dear Lord, our God and our Heavenly Father, thank you for this day in which you have given us, O Lord. Thank you for the blessings of life itself. Thank you, Lord, that I'm still here and that those of us who are in the audience are still here as well. Father, I thank and pray and ask you and thank you and ask you to continue to bless this church, this local congregation, the Church of Christ here at Stony Island. I pray for the leadership here and their families, as well as the membership and their families. I pray for those brethren who have taken part in the services thus far, and ask for them and their families that they too may also be blessed, that they may continue to work, Father, in your vineyard. Thank you, O Heavenly Father, for all of those who are here this morning, and we're praying for those, Father, that may not be here because of illness. We're just praying and asking, if it be your will, O Lord, that you would bring them back together with us at the next appointed time. Father, we pray for those who are grieving the loss of loved ones today, and we're just praying for them that they may be strengthened and may continue to move on and down the road of life, O Lord. For we know if we start on this road, one day that road is going to run out for each and every one of us. And we thank you, O Lord, that we have you to call upon and we have hope in you, Lord. Thank you, O Heavenly Father, for all of those that are here today. And I pray and thank you, Father, for those that may still be on their way, that they may get here safe and secure. Father, we pray for those who are traveling today that they may have a safe journey and be able to return back to us once again. Father, when we have done all that we can do, that we have been asked to do, and we have served our lives in this world, we ask you for a better home and a place with thee. In the name of your Son, Jesus, we continue to ask it all. Let us all say amen. This morning, the scripture was read for your hearing from the 23rd chapter of the book of Luke. In the 23rd chapter of the book of Luke, what was read for your hearing was verse number 32 and verse number 33. We're going to read some more of that, but let us continue to look at those two verses for now. And then there were also two other malefactors led with him to be put to death. And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, they were crucified. There they crucified him and the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left. This morning we want to talk about three crosses at Calvary. Three crosses at Calvary. Many lessons have been preached and taught about over the years about the cross and the death of Christ. But the Bible also gives us a brief look or a brief account of two others who were also crucified on Calvary. though of the three, Jesus is the most meaningful to us as Christians, yet there is something that we may get from hearing about the others as well. They may help us as we move down the road of life. Christians should never forget the cross that stood in the middle, for it is the one our Savior hung, bled, and died on to set man free. It was from this cross where the Savior of this world gave his life for us on Calvary. Jesus died for our sins. There was and always shall be something we cherish about that middle cross, for it was the Son of God was on display for the sake of mankind. In the text of John chapter 3 and verse number 16, a familiar text that most of you know by heart, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, because he loved us so." Look at the reality of God's love for mankind. Sometimes men hate one another for trivial matters. We hate one another because of little things. Yet even though God had every reason in the world to not love us, the Bible said he loved us enough to save us through his Son, Jesus Christ. We were, according to Isaiah chapter 64 and verse number 6, we were seen as unclean. We were seen as unclean things, and our righteousness was as filthy rags. While God showed his love for us while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. God loved us enough to send his only begotten Son. And you know something? We need to take a look at that a little bit further. We need to consider the fact that God didn't have to love us as much as he loved us. He didn't have to send his only begotten Son, but he did. The life of Jesus was sinless. Look at Peter, 1 Peter 2nd chapter, verse 21 and verse number 24. Go over with me to 1 Peter 21 through 24, if you will. Give me a moment and I'll be there with you. 1 Peter 2, chapter 21 through 24. It says, "For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sins should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed." God healed us through the death and the stripes of Jesus Christ, because Jesus Christ died for us. But in Luke, the purpose for being on the cross, first of all, was to save sinners. Luke chapter 19 and verse number 10, the Bible says, "The Son of Man has come to seek and save that which was lost." Even the one who called himself the chief of sinners understood that Jesus came to save sinners in 1 Timothy 1 and verse number 15. Now I say the sooner the world understands this, the more they should see the need to come to Jesus. We were all finished. We were not in any position to save ourselves. We couldn't save ourselves. We didn't have the power, because power could not have saved us. Money could not have saved us. Education could not have saved us. Fame and fortune could not have saved us. Only the love of God and the blood of Jesus Christ would do. And in the middle, that middle cross provided this blood. We now can have safety and security through Jesus Christ. Sometimes the story of the cross to us is, some of us ought to learn to say amen when we read the story of the cross. For the story of the cross is the life of Jesus and the death of Jesus. Prior to the cross, it was his life. But on the cross, it was all about his death, his burial when he came off the cross, and his resurrection. But I tell you something, church. Those three crosses there that stood in the midst of Calvary, the one in the midst of Calvary was the one that's important to us. The one that's important to us contains our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The one that's important to us contains Jesus, who died because of nothing he had done. So Jesus died for our sins. There was a reason that he was on, that there was a reason that he hung out on the cross. One man died in sin. I can somewhat see some of us today in this other one of these men on the cross. I see some of us in the fact that we are still questioning the reality of Jesus, the Son of God. So watch him in Luke 23 and verse number 39. Look what he says. He says, in one of the malefactors which was hanged railed on him, saying, "If thou be Christ, save thyself and us." And us. Save thyself and us. See, he was asking for safety, but he didn't believe in Christ. He didn't believe. He questioned the reality of Christ. The Son of David was here in his death hours, in the time of his lasting hours on this earth. He was about to die and go into the grave and then be resurrected again. This man was in perhaps in pain and agony, and he was going through that which no doubt he asked Jesus that if I railed on Jesus, I should say. He asked Jesus, if you are really Jesus, would you save us, all of us, in other words. He was perhaps at the door of death, and he didn't know what else to say. Maybe he didn't know what else to say as he hung at the door of death. He still wasn't ready to humble himself. Men today, even though they know death is coming, they would still rather live a life of unrighteousness rather than to submit to Jesus Christ. Living a life without Jesus means that one does not have the hope of Jesus in death. There is hope laid up in heaven, and heaven is where Jesus lived with the Father. When one lives on earth in evilness, unless they change before they die in evilness. But if they live knowing that God is our only hope, then they learn that Christ is good for all of us. You know, sometimes when I think about that scene on Calvary, I ask myself the question. I ask myself, did God really need to be there? The only need that God was there on the cross was to save us. The only reason that God was there was to save us. Christ is our only hope. Christ is our only hope, and we know that eternal life and what God promised us before the world began. And God cannot lie, according to Titus 1 and verse number 2. We must hold fast in confidence and firmness this hope until the end, according to Hebrews 3 and verse number 6. So this one man, he died still not believing in Jesus Christ, apparently. He still suffered in death on the cross, but yet he still did not believe in Jesus. But there was one man, this is the one man that went with Jesus. We find that one man look at verse number 40, if you will. But the other answering rebuked him, saying, "Does not thou fear God? Seeing thou art in the same condemnation." We find that man rebuking the other man. We find that man asking the all-important question that we need to ask ourselves today. Don't you fear Jesus Christ? There are many today that need to answer that same question. One man's heart softened, while the other man's even seemed to harden all the way to the end. He was reminded in verse number 41, "And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man has done nothing amiss." Jesus had done nothing. And every time we come to church, we ought to be reminded of the cross. Every day that we live, we ought to be reminded of the cross. Every day that we get up and breathe our breath that the Lord gives us, we ought to be reminded of the cross. We ought to be reminded of the cross, because the cross is what got us to where we're at today. We need to be reminded that this cross is all important. Jesus had done nothing to deserve the punishment he was receiving. But Jesus himself, hearing the conversation, and look at verse number 43, if you will. Jesus said unto this one man, he said unto thee, I say unto thee, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. Thou shalt be with me today in paradise. But I want us to remember some things from this lesson, that Jesus told this man he was going to be with him today in paradise. Now, and the other man still not believing, but there are some things that we need to understand. In that same verse, in verse number 43, what a savior Jesus was. Even though he too was in agony and near death, he gave this man his word that he would be with him in paradise. Today we put on or meet Christ through baptism, where our bodies contact the blood of Christ. Upon these three crosses of Calvary, we find one cross showing us how that salvation came through the blood of Christ. And on one cross, it shows a man who did not believe in Christ. And one cross shows a man who came to Christ asking Christ to remember him. And you know what? Do you remind yourself to remember Christ each and every day? Do you remember to ask Christ and thank Christ for his life that you are living? But there are some lessons we should not take from this text. One lesson is, some people think that because Jesus told this man today he was going to paradise, some folk think you don't need to go to church. Now, that's not a lesson I want you to get from that text. That text has nothing to do with the church because, guess what? The church wasn't around yet. The church of Christ had not been established. The church of Christ had not been established when Jesus made this promise to this man on the cross. And look at verse Acts 20 and verse number 28. Do you remember what it says? Christ who purchased the church with his own blood. Now, what was the blood shed at? The blood was shed on Calvary. We don't need to take from this lesson. This text does not teach us that we don't need to be baptized in order to come to Jesus. Because Matthew 28 and 19 says, Jesus said, go and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Mark 16 and 16 says, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. John 3 and 5, Jesus said, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. So obviously we need to be baptized. But guess what? Jesus died under the law, but he was raised up from death in the New Testament and the new law under the new covenant. So you do need to go to church. You do need to serve God in obedience, and you do need to be baptized. And I just want you to remember something. One last thought I want you to remember. Jesus did not say to this man he was going to heaven. Jesus never promised the man he was going to heaven. As a matter of fact, Jesus did not ascend himself until some 40 days later. But he made the emphatic statement. He said, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. He didn't say today you're going to heaven. Now, I know there are folk who put this man in heaven all the time. They say that Jesus sent this man to heaven. You know, it's just like when you go to funerals sometime, the deceased person is always in heaven. I've heard people say that he's got his robe and his crown now. Folk always want to put this thief in heaven, but Jesus, like I said, never said that. Jesus didn't go to heaven himself until later on. As a matter of fact, it was in Acts chapter 1 where Jesus was ascended. But Jesus reminded Mary in John chapter 20 and verse number 17 that he had not yet ascended to the Father when Mary saw him after she went to the tomb. So therefore, how could Jesus take this man to heaven when he was going still on this earth? So I ask the question today, or I make the statement today, I should say, don't let anybody tell you that this man was saved and went to heaven, because that's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible does not teach that. Jesus reminds us each and every day that we live, if we are Christians, how good he is to us, how great his death was, his burial, and then his resurrection was even greater, because now he lives in heaven, sitting on the right hand of the Father. So I tell you, when you look at this text again, look at verse number 34, and it says, Then Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they're doing. And they parted his raiment and cast lot. And the people stood beholding, and the rulers also with them derided him, saying, he saved others, let him save himself. If he be Christ, the chosen of God. Well, he did save us. He is saving us each and every day. So I ask the question of you this morning. Do you trust Jesus? Do you have faith in Jesus? If you trust Jesus, you'll allow him to handle your life and your life situations. If you trust Jesus, you'll obey him. If you trust Jesus, you'll submit to him. And you submit to him through baptism. And I tell you something. This world would be a much better place if more people would trust in Jesus Christ. I'll tell you another thing, too. Without Jesus, where would we be? Where would we be without Jesus? So then, in continuing on, in verse number 39, where it says, and one of the malefactors which was hanged railed on him, saying, if thou be Christ, save himself. But the other answering rebuked him, saying, dost thou not fear God, seeing art, then thou art in the same condemnation? The church folk ought to be standing in the forefront every time someone brings Jesus down. Every time someone knocks on Jesus, you ought to say, but did you know this? That Jesus died for our sins. He was buried and then rose again on the third day, that we may have an opportunity for eternal life. When Jesus was hanging on that cross, Jesus was more than a man. Jesus was God himself. Jesus was the Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. And when out came blood and water from his side, and Jesus gave up and he died. And after he was buried, when the ladies went to this tomb early that morning, and Jesus was not there. So what are you saying, preacher? I'm saying the Lord that we serve is not a dead God. The Lord that we serve is a living God. The Lord that we serve is the righteous and the one and only living God. Everybody that has had something to do with religion in the past, none of them can say that they, unless they serve Jesus Christ, none of them can say they serve the living God. Because every God that man has ever put up has moved along his way and left this world and never came back. But Jesus left this world, died and was buried and was raised again. So I like Luke chapter 23, starting at that 32nd verse. I like that story. I like it because it shows a human side of these two men that were with Jesus on Calvary. It shows Jesus and his human side showing compassion for one of them. It shows Jesus in the way that he was, that he loved us. And it gives us a bigger picture of what we need to see today. So I say that, yes, we need to go to church. We need to obey Christ. And yes, we need to be baptized in order to be saved. No, we can't wait until our death comes to be saved. No, we can't count on seeing Jesus on our cross. We have to pick up our cross and carry it while we yet live. We must carry our cross, and we must bear our own cross, I should say. So I ask you this morning, have you met Jesus today? Have you met him yet? And if you haven't met Jesus, you need to meet him this day. Because you know why? Tomorrow is not promised. Tomorrow has not been promised to any of us. I like the fact that each morning when I wake up, I know that I'm in the beginning of a new day. But I don't know how long I'm going to make it through that day. I don't know if I'll make it all the way through or if I'll just something may just happen to me right then and there. But the one thing that I do know is this, that as long as we serve a righteous God, we can count on him doing for us what he sees best for us, what he sees fit to do for us. And I tell you something else. When you get up in the mornings, before you open your coffee cup, before you pour coffee in your coffee cup, you need to thank God for allowing you to get up, for allowing you to wake up, for allowing you to rise up and then be about your way. And then all through the day, you know, we live in a society where people are harming each other for little or nothing. You need to thank him all through the day. And if you're out there driving, especially be thankful to him. Because there are new rules for driving now. It's not in the Secretary of State's handbook anymore, any at all. But there are new rules for driving these days. And you've got to learn to ask God to protect you. And if you're walking, you've got to ask him to protect you just as well. If you're on public transportation, ask him to protect you. Ask him to go with you. Just like that one malefactor did, he said, Lord, remember me. Remember me. And Jesus made a promise to him. He said, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. And Jesus doesn't say things if it's not true. And so I say to you this morning, if you want to meet Jesus, now is the greatest time in your life to meet him if you've never met him. If you have met him and you've kind of broken your relationship with him, you need to come back to him. And if you want to come back to him, you come back to him by asking him to forgive you and then coming forward asking the church to pray for you, along with you and for you. And if you haven't met him, you come by hearing, believing, repenting, confessing, and then being baptized. Oh, it's a glorious and a wonderful day to be baptized. It's a glorious and a wonderful day to put on Christ. Because one day, he's going to come back, and he's coming back for his church. And when he comes back for his church, the only question I have is, will you be in there? Will you be a part of his church? And I don't mean physically sitting in the building, but I mean, will you be a part of his church? Or will you tell yourself, well, he ain't coming today. He probably won't even come this year. You can't be sure of that. So that means you got to stretch out your life to cover each and every day. You've got to strengthen your life, I should say, to cover each and every day. You've got to ask the Lord to bless you each and every day. You've got to ask the Lord to strengthen me each and every day. And then, as Brother Miles always liked to say, when you sing, sometimes you can sing all by yourself. You can sing praises unto the Lord. And when you sing these praises unto the Lord, you can say sometimes somebody has some better words than you. I know folk have better words than me. And so sometimes you need to see that just how good God really is through the words of others. And I know what some families go through. Mama been wanting me to get into church for a long time now. But I ain't ready. You have to keep insisting to your family members that God may call you at any time. You don't ever know when you will be called. See, if you did, you could prepare for that. But you must be prepared each and every day. You can't wait till that last day and prepare yourself, because you don't know when it's going to be. And I know something a little bit about death, because I've been to many funerals, and so have you. I've been to many relatives' funerals, and probably so have you. And death is never easy, but it's a reality. It's for real, but it doesn't always seem real, but it is. And you know for yourself that God is coming for each and every one of us. And there will be none of us that escape him. And no matter how much time we have lived on this earth, God is still going to come for us. And I remember some of those men in the Bible, people in the Bible, how long they lived. But God still came for them. And he died. So all I'm saying to you is that cross that's in the middle, that was in the middle on Calvary, we need to focus on that cross. We need to come to that cross. And if we've never been to that cross, we need to come. If we've been to that cross, we need to come back to that cross as we together stand and sing the song of invitation.